Last night, we began to look into the Scriptures. There are five places in the New Testament where Jesus personally and individually said to people, "Ten animo, be of good cheer, take courage, take heart." And He will do that and does that with you and me as well, by His Spirit and by His Word, because we are all subject from time to time to the devil and all the onslaught of the devil. You know how many things start with D? Discouragement, disappointment, despair, depression, and on it goes. And so we need the Lord, don't we, to counter those things. Have you got some more? Death, disease, destruction. Yeah. Right, all those kinds of things. So thank God He comes personally and quickens His word. Jesus does, and He speaks that strengthening word. Be of good courage. Take heart. Don't be afraid. I am with you. And so He counters. And we saw last night how, first of all, there was a man who was conscious of his own sin. He was troubled by his own sin. And to that man, Jesus said, "Be of good cheer. I have put myself between you and your sin." And to the woman who was troubled by that one limiting thing that was always getting in the way, Jesus says, "Be of good cheer. I have put myself between that which limits you and restricts you." So we're going to continue this morning, and I trust the Lord will bless us and speak to our hearts and encourage us and strengthen us as we look at three more cases, individuals, where Jesus said the identical words. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 14. That's the next one. Matthew chapter 14. Am I in Matthew? Let's see. Verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side. And while he sent the multitudes away, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. Now when evening came, He was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water." So He said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So this is the next place where Jesus says to someone, "Be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. Take courage." This situation, they're in the middle of a storm, and you note that it wasn't the storm that the disciples were afraid of. It was the appearing of Jesus, listen to me, in a way that they had never seen before. It was totally unexpected, unusual to say the least. And they were frightened by this mysterious new way and appearing of God in their lives. They were troubled by that. They were fearful. And I would ask you this morning, is God moving in your life in some new and mysterious, unexpected way, and it's somewhat troublesome to you because He had never spoken like that before. He had never appeared like that to you before. It's unknown. What is happening, Lord? What's going on here? They were afraid. Perhaps that's taking place in your life right now, where you're at. As it is for a very, very close friend of ours. Her name is Chris. She's been a United Airlines pilot for 20 years. Prior to that, she was a top flight pilot in the Air Force. She's a godly woman, sold out for Jesus. And a couple of months ago, I invited her to come with 12 or 14 others of us to a prayer conference with Jim Cimbala over in Tampa. And God really blessed her that morning, that whole day. Really blessed her. She was over the top. And she kept saying to me, thank you, Sandy. Thank you so much for inviting me. I needed that. I just feel so strengthened. And she was very blessed that day. Coming back in the van after the conference, she gets a call from her physician. I knew she had just had a breast biopsy, and the call was to say that the tumor was malignant. How good of the Lord, how good of God to bless her in that way and, as it were, prepare her. Now, here's the thing. This woman had just been promoted by United Airlines and was going to, in September, commence training left seat 747. Which was her dream. Now all of a sudden, this has happened. God is moving in some new and strange, unexpected, mysterious way. And He has come to Chris and is coming to Chris, as perhaps He's coming to you this morning. Because you're confused as to what's God doing in my life? What's He up to? What's going on? And He would say to you, it is I. Or more correctly and more literally in the translation, I am. Isn't that good? Isn't that powerful? It is I. I am. I put myself between you and the mystery and all the uncertainty and all that lies ahead for you. It is I. I am. Do you recall another time when God said that? I am? Mm-hmm. Remember when Moses inquired of the Lord, what should I tell the people your name is? What's your name? Who shall I say has sent me? And the Lord said to him, say, this is my name, I am that I am. What a strange response. God would say that to you this morning, beloved. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're passing through, whatever is fearful, mysterious, aren't you thankful that we can't wrap God around our minds, that there's mystery, great mystery in God, and great mystery in God in His ways and His dealings with us and what He causes us to pass through. And He appears in strange, unusual, unexpected ways, but He speaks His word in our fear and uncertainty. I am. I am that I am. What do you need of the Lord this morning? You might say, I'm like a lost wandering sheep. I don't know where I'm going. I need a shepherd. Jesus says, I am that I am. I'm lonely. I need a comforter. I need a husband. God says, I am that I am. He's the great I am, ever present, all sufficient. I am that I am. Be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. Hallelujah. Question. Are you open this morning? Are you open to God moving in some new and unexpected way in your life? Something you never dreamed of, something you never counted on? Will you set aside what you believe to be your limitation, and will you open your heart to God? And as we sang earlier, I'm one of your redeemed. Use me as you wish, Lord. Are you open to God moving in some brand new and unexpected way in your life? That perhaps unknown, fearful, mysterious, but it'll be Jesus moving in you and through you in a way you've never seen Him move before, like in our story here. And He will be with you, and He speaks His word. Don't be afraid. Be of good cheer. It is I. It is I. I am. So they were troubled by this new, mysterious, unexpected way of God moving in their life. Let's move to the next one in John chapter 16. The next time where Jesus said to someone, be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. Take courage. John 16, verse 33, Jesus says to His disciples, these things I have spoken to you, that in Me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now He has just told them in verse 5, I go away. Verse 7, He repeats it, I go away. Verse 5, but now I go away to Him who sent Me, and none of you asks Me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart, and no doubt fear as well. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage, it is expedient, it is profitable for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. They didn't get it, and understandably so. He's telling them that I am going to leave you. I'm going away, and they're troubled. I believe they were troubled by a hostile world that was against them. And knowing their own weaknesses, knowing their own frailties, knowing their propensities and their proclivities to failing and to falling and to wandering, what will we do without Him? What will we do facing this hostile world alone? And they were troubled in their hearts. They loved Him with all their hearts, as we do. But you know, and I know, that we can so easily wander. Yes, we so want to live day in and day out in the Spirit, but we know that there are times when we've lived in the flesh. We know there's this high and holy standard by which God wants us to live. And we realize, I fall short. We realize that sin is powerful. The devil is powerful. The temptation of the world is powerful. And how are we going to do it? We're troubled by living in this hostile world. Is that real or not? Yeah. But Jesus comes and He says, take courage. Take heart. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And as long as we're in this world, we will face temptation. The draw of materialism. The draw of temptations of the flesh. Reminds me of a story. This professor, he just retired, godly professor, lovely man, beloved by all of his students and the staff as well. This man retired. And with each new coming class coming in, he would give this talk on sexual purity. Okay? And even when he retired, they said, will you come back and give the first class your talk on sexual purity? So he kept doing that. And afterwards, this one young man, he comes up to him and he says, sir, I just so appreciated your talk. It was great. It helped me a lot. He said, but I have one question for you. He said, can you tell me when that won't be a problem? And he said, well, he said, I can't answer that definitively, but I can tell you this, it's after 72. So we are aware of our weaknesses. We are aware that we can so easily be a Jekyll and a Hyde. One day up, one day down. But I'm so thankful that He has overcome the world. And we read such things as in 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Sorry, I should let you get there. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Our faith is in Jesus and Jesus alone. And the promised Spirit that He said to the disciples, you will receive, and we have received. And John writes in his epistle in the fourth chapter, the fourth verse, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. I have no confidence in myself and in my strength, but I have all confidence in the victorious Spirit of the risen, resurrected Christ who lives in me and dwells in me. Amen? Glory be to God. And so the apostle writes such things as in Romans 8, he says to us, facing a hostile world, facing materialism, facing all manner of tribulation, he says in chapter 8, in the verse, let me just see, no wonder I can't read, I'm in Corinthians. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Wouldn't you just settle for being a conqueror? But He says, no, we're more than conquerors through Christ. More than conquerors through Christ who loved us. And he goes on to say here, I'm persuaded. Are you persuaded? Are you a persuaded man this morning? Are you a persuaded woman this morning on the basis of what Christ has done and His victory that has been given to us as well? I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. What a gospel. What a Savior. What a powerful Spirit that indwells us. Do you notice that? In verse 35, Paul says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? This is the issue. This is the enemy's supreme tactic. And that is, he wants to slander the character of God and declare that God does not love you. And he does so by pointing at things like tribulation, distress, persecution, whatever it might be, anything unwanted, unwelcomed in your life. And he says, how can a loving God allow that to happen to you? Now listen to me. This is very, very important. Verse 35 begins with the word who. Then he speaks of tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. Those things are not whose. They're what's. But Paul is more interested in being spiritually correct than being grammatically correct. Now you look at your own life. Is it or is it not true that when all hell breaks loose and there's this onslaught of difficulty, tribulation, whatever you want to call it, isn't there a voice, isn't there a personality, isn't there a who behind those things that basically says to you, how could a loving God allow this? There's a spirit behind that thing. Is that not true? Yes or no? Is that not true in your life? And that's the temptation. And that spirit is seeking to say, God doesn't love you. You're separated from the love of God. Where's God in all of this? True? It is true. I was sitting in a restaurant several years ago when my daughter called to say that the diagnosis had just come through that she had stage 4 breast cancer. And the first thing I said to her was, Christy, I said, it will be God's character that the enemy will use to bring into question over this. He will slander God's character. How could a loving God allow you, a brand new mother, 6 weeks after giving birth to your second child, to have stage 4 breast cancer? How could a loving God? God doesn't love you. Look at that. Would you do that with your own children? That's what he does. And I said, sweetheart, I said, you must stand on the biblical revelation of God's character, that he is good. That is the issue. That is what the enemy will always contest. God is not good. And it's a lie. And he will use circumstances that you and I pass through to slander his character. And I said to Christy, you must stand on the revelation of God's word, even though all around you seems to contradict. And you must stand on what you know experientially to be of the love of God. And when my wife was diagnosed with breast cancer 2 weeks ago, the first thing she said was, Satan is not going to get the victory in this. God is not going to be robbed of my love, my worship, and my praise. Hallelujah. And God spoke a verse to my daughter We live by the Spirit-quickened Word of God. We live for this. We're desperate for this. And I pray that this morning and in these days together, that God by His Spirit will quicken His Word to your heart and to my heart. When my daughter was going through this, the very day that she got the news, that she wrote it in her Bible, just got word, there's no hope for me. Where she was at in her reading, and I encourage you to read this word. Read it for yourself. It's life. It's food for you. Read it regularly. Read it daily. Let it be your meat and drink. Let it be your life and blood. Where she was at in her reading, by God's grace, by His divine coincidence, she was reading Psalm 112 the very day that the doctor said, "I'm sorry, we have no hope for you." She's reading Psalm 112, verse 7. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. He will not be afraid of bad news. His heart is steadfast. Her heart is steadfast. Trusting in the Lord. Her heart is established. He will not be afraid until He sees His desire upon His enemies. We will not be afraid. Be of good courage. Be of good cheer. Take courage. Take heart. He rules. He reigns. He is sovereign. He's Almighty God. And He's good. Let's declare it. He is good. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. He is good.
Amen.
We all will pass through difficulty. Trials, tribulations, you name it. And we're conscious of our own weaknesses, like these disciples were. But we have a Savior who ever lives to intercede for us, who knows our weaknesses, who knows our frailties. And He says, be of good cheer. I impart my strength to you. I stand between you and all the opposing forces and words and demonic attacks and slanderous accusations against my character and against you. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. God is good. Hallelujah. The Lord spoke to my daughter through that whole period of time. She didn't waver once. She was incredible. She was a different person. We used to call her Crisis Christie when she was growing up. I mean, if she stubbed her toe, you know, we'd have to take her to the emergency and amputate just about. But she was Crisis Christie. But through all this, she came into a brand new experience of Christ. And she loved the Lord. She loved His Word. And not once did she say, "God, why?" Not once. You know, amazing. And she was reading through Romans 14, verses 7 and 8 one day, and God spoke this to her, where it says that we live, whether we live or whether we die. If we live, we live unto the Lord. If we die, we die unto the Lord. So whether we live or whether we die, we're the Lord's. Hallelujah. We're the Lord's. Amen. We're the Lord's. Let's say it together. We're the Lord's. And we're all going to die. We're all going to die. We have a chaplain in our church. He's a minister, an ordained minister, has been for many years, but he's a hospice chaplain. And he does a great job of ministering to people who are on their deathbed. And he said, everybody wants to go to heaven when they die. They just don't want to die to get there. We fear, we don't want to die. We all figure we're allotted, entitled to our 70. But these things happen. Are you ready to die today in the Lord? Can you say with the apostle, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain"? Yeah, amen. Well, let's go to the apostle. This is the last one where Jesus speaks these same words to the apostle Paul. This giant of the faith. Same words he's got to speak in somewhere in Acts. Acts 23. Acts 23. Okay. Verse 10. Now when there arose a great dissension, the commander, fearing lest Paul might be pulled to pieces by them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and bring him into the barracks. But the following night, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul. For as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome." And when it was day, some of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under an oath, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. Now there were more than 40 who had formed this conspiracy. They came to the chief priests and the elders and said, "We have bound ourselves under a great oath that we will eat nothing until we have killed Paul." So the day before, it says that they were ready to tear him apart. They'd already beaten him up. And the next day, they were plotting to kill him. He's in a killer situation. He's in an impossible situation. You look at this and you think, there is no way that he's going to get out of this one. There is no way. This is impossible. How is he going to escape this situation? How is he going to get out of this one? What was it he was afraid of? What was it that was in the depths of his being? What was it that was really troubling him? Was it death? I don't think so. Because, as I quoted earlier, his heart was, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." Was it persecution? I don't think so. He wrote to Timothy and said, "All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, you'll suffer persecution." He says to the Philippians, he says to them, he says that it's been granted to us not only to believe in Jesus Christ, but also to suffer for his sake. So suffering is part of the package. So I don't think he was troubled by the thought of death or persecution. But I believe he was troubled by the fact that I'm not going to be able to finish my course, to finish the ministry that God has given to me. I want to go to Rome. It's in my heart to go to Rome. You turn back to chapter 19, verse 21. This is the heart of the apostle concerning Rome. When these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit. What is capital S, small s, spirit, or both, I'm not sure. But there was that in his heart that when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, "After I've been there, I must also see Rome. Lord, I want to go to Rome. I want to be in the center of activity. I want to be light in that dark place. I want to preach the gospel in Rome." And so it looked like, because of the situation he's in, chapter 23, this is not going to happen. And I believe that was the troublesome thing for him. He's not going to finish his ministry. The ministry's been brought to a dead halt, potentially. His life is on the line. He's in a killer situation. How is he going to get out of this? 40 guys have taken this oath. "We are not going to eat or drink until we've killed Paul." I wonder if they kept their oath. I wonder if the funeral director in the town that day was, you know, rubbing his hands with glee, because I've got 40 funerals over one weekend. I wonder. But that was the thing that troubled him. And Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, Paul." The word of God comes to him in the midst of the darkest hour of his life. And he said, "You must also bear witness of me in Rome." All hell can break loose in your life, but if Jesus says you are going to get to Rome, you will make it to Rome. Amen? I don't know what your Rome is. I don't know what the particular calling on your life is or the particular destiny in your life. It may look so threatened right now, impossible for this to come to pass. But if Jesus says you are going to get to Rome, you will get to Rome. Hallelujah. And we know, reading on, Paul did get to Rome. Praise be to God. Let that be an encouragement to your heart. If you feel like your ministry is shut down, I've got a very, very good friend. His wife has got cancer. And with a broken heart, he was saying to me, this man has traveled throughout the whole world, done extensive ministry throughout Germany and Russia, godly, godly man, a real evangelist. And he, of course, is having to take care of his wife, Beth, and day in and day out. And he said, "The thing that breaks my heart is that I'm not ministering. I'm not preaching any longer." And I believe it's for a time and for a season. But that's his heart. He can identify with the apostle here. Perhaps you can as well this morning. Are you troubled by God moving in a mysterious way in your life this morning? Are you open to some new and unexpected leading of the Lord? Are you troubled just by living in the world and the evil that's in the world and the temptation that's in the world and the strength and power of the devil and all of his tactics? Are you troubled this morning that things seem to be shut down for you? You're in a killer situation. You're in a life-threatening situation. Maybe not literally, but it feels like that. Jesus would say to you this morning and to me this morning, "Be of good cheer. Take courage. Take heart. I've overcome. I put myself between you and the mystery, God's mysterious way. I interpose myself between you and the world and the devil and the temptation. I put myself there. I put myself." All that's threatening you, all the opposing forces threatening you fulfilling your ministry, threatening you and the calling that's on your life. Perhaps the Holy Spirit is bringing to remembrance to some of you this morning promise that God has made years and years ago that you have buried because you think, "Well, I guess I didn't hear the Lord. Circumstances have prevailed, have opposed that word," and you think, "Well, I guess that's never going to come to pass." Opposition, threatening that word, ever being fulfilled. And Jesus said, "I put myself between all those opposing words. I did speak that to you. And that which I promised those many years ago, that promise is still valid. And I will bring it to pass. You will get to your Rome." Hallelujah. Beloved, consider this morning who it is that is speaking. It is Jesus who is speaking these words into your heart. There's nothing more powerful than this, than the risen, resurrected Lord speaking, quickening His Word. This is what we need, I pray, is happening this morning. This is what happened to Daniel in chapter 10 of Daniel, verse 19. Daniel, one of the great Old Testament saints, one of the great types, if not the highest type of Christ, along with Joseph, that we can find. But here's Daniel, the word coming to him in verse 19, chapter 10. "O man, greatly beloved, fear not." This This is Daniel we're talking about. This is Daniel. Remember I saw Dare to be a Daniel? We sang that as kids. Dare to be a Daniel. This is Daniel. Why does God have to say to Daniel, first of all, you're not just loved, you're greatly loved, Daniel. Why? Why would God say that to him? He needed to hear that. He was doubting God's love. Why does he have to say, Daniel, don't be afraid. Fear not. He was passing through fear. Why does he have to say, peace be to you? He's got to be strong. Be strong, Daniel. Be strong. This is Daniel. How much more so us? Don't be ashamed by your weakness. Don't be ashamed that you're fearful from time to time. You're in good company, folks. But here it is. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened. When he spoke to me, I was strengthened. I said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. How many of you have been in a meeting or you've been reading your Bible and God quickens the word and that word is personal? God spoke to you. He doesn't need to say much. It can, one little word will fell him, so the hymn writer says. One little word, but you know it's God speaking. And somehow you're changed, you're strengthened, aren't you? Yeah, we've had that experience. Amen. When you spoke to me, I was strengthened. And you go forth in the strength of that word as a mighty warrior. You and I, who were once so weak and so frail, we are now strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Hallelujah. Consider who it is that is speaking. Consider that He has interposed Himself between you and all your difficulties, all your mysteries, all your afflictions. He's interposed Himself. And the reason that you and I do fail from time to time, and we are faint from time to time, is that we have got a dimmed vision, if you like, of God and His greatness and His sovereignty and His lordship, that He's in all and He's over all, and He causes all things to work together for good to those who love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. You know, my... It's unbelievable. In our church 2 weeks ago, when my wife announced that she had stage 2 breast cancer, somebody stood up and said this: the devil has picked on the wrong family and the wrong church this time. Hallelujah. He's picked on the wrong family and the wrong church this time. God is going to use it for good and for His glory. Hallelujah. This is not false bravado. This is not just me trying to... I believe it with all my heart. So does my wife. We believe it. We're praying for a miracle. We're praying that the Lord will heal her. The Lord will use these gifted physicians. But if the Lord takes her, well, she belongs to the Lord. She belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. I had to, this story just quickly comes to my mind. I don't know why, but years ago, I was called by a man in our church who was from Puerto Rico, and he asked me to go see another Puerto Rican man. I'd never met him before. His wife was 34, and she was dying of cancer. She was at home, and it was imminent. So the man in my church asked me if I would go to the home and talk to the 10-year-old little girl. I think, what am I going to say? But I did go. And I'm praying and praying, saying, Lord, what can I say to this 10-year-old to help her to understand what's going on with her mommy dying in the next bedroom? So I got there, and sure enough, the Lord gave me His word. And I said to her, I pulled something out of my pocket. And I said, Maria, I said, do you know what this is? And she said, no. This was on a Thursday. I said, this is an airline ticket. I said, tomorrow I'm flying to Calgary because my daughter is getting married in Calgary. And I said, my wife flew there on Monday. I said, we are going to a wedding. I said, we are going to the same wedding, but she has gone on before me. And I said, does your mother love Jesus? I know what she asked me. She said straight, this little 10-year-old, she said, is my mommy going to die? And I said, yes. I said, yes, she's going to die. I said, does your mommy love Jesus? And she said, yes. I said, does your daddy love Jesus? She said, yes. I said, do you love Jesus? She says, yes, with all my heart, 10 years old. And I said, listen, I said, your mommy is going to a wedding. Your daddy is going to a wedding. You're going to go to that wedding too. It's just that your mommy is going on a little bit before you. Oh. And it's like the light went on. And then I did another strange thing. I'd never been in this house before. So I went into the fridge without asking. And I hoped what was in there was there. And sure enough, it was. And so I took out 2 eggs. And I went into the cupboard without asking. And I took out a bowl and I cracked the egg into the bowl. And I said, Maria, what's in this bowl? She says, it's an egg. I said, okay, that's right. And I said, well, what's this? And she said, that's an egg. I said, you said this was an egg. Well, they're both eggs, but this one's still got the shell on it. And she got it. Oh. I said, that's what's happening. Your mummy's shell is breaking down, and it's going to stop working. But she's still alive inside. And she's going to be with Jesus. She's going to a wedding. We're going to a wedding, folks. Some of us won't be here next year. Perhaps. You've just gone on before. Hallelujah. And so what's the Lord's word to us? Take courage. Take heart. It's tough. It's tough. You all look great. You're all smiling. But some of you, no doubt, you're bearing some heavy things. You're passing through some deep waters. But Jesus, by his word and spirit, says, take courage. Take heart. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. I've put myself in between all these fears, all these circumstances. And we'll close with Psalm 31. And I want you to do this morning. Psalm 31. Psalm 31. Verse 24. The last verse. We go back into the Psalms for this. But it's God's word. It's God's word to us this morning. Whoever you may be. Be of good courage. Take courage. You've got to take it. Will you take courage from Jesus this morning? Will you take that? Will you take it? And he shall strengthen your heart. He will strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Is your hope in Jesus this morning? Is your hope and trust in the Lord this morning? In the midst of your darkness and your difficulty, whatever it might be, will you take courage? Will you take it from him? And he promises, I will strengthen your heart. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we all this morning receive this word into our heart, and we all take the courage and strength that you give to us. By your presence, by your spirit, by your word, and we thank you that we are strong in the Lord, in the Lord, in the Lord, and in the power of your might, Lord. We thank you for this wonderful exchange, and we thank you that indeed greater is he who resides in me than he that is in the world, and all the powers and forces of evil that are in the world. We take courage this morning. We take heart. We all do, Lord.